You are listening to a podcast from The National.
Hi, welcome to Extra Time, The National's football podcast. I'm your host, John Turner. Joining me in the studio this week, sports reporter John McCauley. John, how are you doing, mate?
Very well, thanks. How are you?
Not too bad at all, mate. Not too bad. And deputy sports editor, Steve Luckings. Steve, how are you?
Very well, mate. Yourself?
Not too bad, thanks. Not too bad. Today, we'll be poring over Manchester City's emphatic start to the season after they followed up their five-star showing against Liverpool by hitting Watford for six, asking why Chelsea find it so hard to keep 11 players on the pitch, a look at Crystal Palace's daunting schedule, Newcastle quietly building momentum, and a quick look at our team of the season so far. So, gentlemen, let's start with Manchester City. Another emphatic win at Watford this weekend. Things are going very well for Pep Guardiola's team at the moment.
Well, he seems to have solved the Sergio Aguero, Gabriel Jesus conundrum by playing the pair in tandem. And a pretty quick fix solution to that problem, is it? I mean, they are just playing so well together. Aguero is just quality, isn't he? He's such a class act. All of his finishes, particularly the final one, still trying to figure out how he bamboozled his way through four defenders before the finish in off the post. Just absolute quality.
Yeah, it's after all the question marks that there were around him at the start of the season, it's been a fantastic start for him. And it has been really interesting that Guardiola seems to have entrusted both of those guys up front. Whenever, if you look back at Guardiola teams, they don't usually play with two strikers, so it shows you that he knows he's obviously got so much talent there up front, and with the support cast that we've spoken about before behind those two as well, that it just looks very, very good for them at the moment.
Well, that's it. Obviously, Aguero got all the headlines this weekend for his hat-trick, but the fellas in midfield are certainly doing their jobs as well, aren't they? I mean, what a frightening lineup that they've got in that midfield, and Gundogan came off the bench as well to remind everyone that he's still about as well.
Yeah, and I also think Guardiola touched on it yesterday, just how important the recruitment of the three fullbacks in Benjamin Mendy, who's an absolute tank, isn't he? Mm-hmm. Bullocking up the left side, Kyle Walker as well, and Danilo. And, you know, if you look at the upgrade on what Guardiola had to work with last season in them areas, you know, it's a massive upgrade. You can, it sort of makes sense him justifying spending £125 million on those three players, because they've opened up City. You know, they're making the pitch much wider, and that is again creates space for the midfield players. And when you've got quality ball players like Kevin De Bruyne and David Silva on the ball, who can unlock the best defences in the world, it just makes games so much simpler. A shout out to our beleaguered sports editor, Graham Cagle, who flew home specifically for this game. Big Watford fan. What a game to choose.
Well, speaking of Mendy there, Lux, you mentioned his physical attributes, but he's a very fine footballer as well, isn't he? He's got a fantastic delivery. He works that channel extremely well. If anything, he kind of overshadows Kyle Walker. You know, his fellow fullback on the other flank, he's turning into a real player for City.
I think City knew what they were getting after he'd had such a good season last year. And I think, just to carry on from Steve's point, the fact that you've got those two wing backs means that we've spoken before about maybe the defence isn't as good as what it should be, a title-winning kind of type of defence. But I think they spend so much time push forward and occupying teams, I think that actually takes a strain off.
Yeah, they're masking over their weaknesses, definitely.
Yeah, so I think, it just looks very good for them. And if you've got someone in second season with Guardiola's pedigree and the financial support, you know, that is title-winning material.
From the co-leaders now to the reigning champions, guys, Chelsea 0-0 at home to Arsenal on Sunday. Reduced to 10 men again against Arsenal. Why can't they keep all their players on the pitch? What's going on?
I don't know. Do you think it was a sending off? I keep looking at it, and I think it's a very, very harsh one. I think of all the sending offs we've seen this season, that may be the one that personally I think is a little unlucky. But, you know, yeah, it does seem, why is it against Arsenal? Why do they feel they need to go that ultra aggressive way against them, or do Arsenal just lure them into being physical against them?
He would have been booked anyway though, wouldn't he? And he was already on a yellow, so either way they would have been reduced to 10 men come for the rest of the game.
Yeah,
do you think?
I think it was a red card. I would have given a straight red for it. I think it was the kind of, it was right beside a microphone, so it was so audible as well. And if you're going to knock over someone like Kalashnikov, I think you must give him a right thump. And it was what, on the shin pad? You know, it was on the shin, it wasn't down around the ankle, so I thought it was a sending off.
Yeah, I wasn't too sure. But a much improved performance.
That's not what you were saying yesterday.
Well, I'm trying to be a bit diplomatic, I thought. A much improved performance from Arsenal, though. They finally found some good shape in midfield and were very worthy of the draw. Probably, perhaps could have even got the win. They had probably the better of the chances.
Yeah, definitely. And I think they look a bit more solid defensively with Mustafi back in there. You know, there's one less fullback playing in the heart of that defence. But yeah, you're right. And I thought Aaron Ramsey had a very good game as well. Very unlucky to hit the post. And Lacazette, I think he'll be having nightmares about that miss on the follow-up. But yeah, it just goes to show what a win can do for a team, following on from the 3-0 routine victory against Bournemouth the previous week. And, you know, I suppose Arsenal will be coming... Arsenal are becoming a little bit of a bogey team for Chelsea now.
Do you think there are disciplinary issues with Chelsea, though? The fact that, what is it, 3 players sent off, 4 if you include the Community Shield with Pedro? Do you think that is a problem? I saw Conte saying that they need to be a bit luckier with refereeing decisions. I don't know about that, but I don't know. Does that smack of a bigger problem at Chelsea, do you think?
Well, I think Fabregas's red card against Burnley on the opening day of the season was down to his pure idiocy and petulance, so... Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that could be quickly stamped out. But yeah, no, I mean, it's a recurring theme now. It's something that needs to be addressed, and he needs to speak to his players. When you consider you've got two, not ultrally aggressive players, but two midfielders who are enforcers in Bakayoko and Kante who aren't getting sent off, and your other players are getting what we might consider stupid red cards. Yeah, there's definitely an issue there. Mm-hmm.
Bakayoko looks a really fine player, doesn't he? I think he should have started yesterday. I think that could have made a bit of difference to Chelsea. That when he came on, there was a lot more authority in that midfield. He drives the team forward so well. He's great with the ball at his feet. I think he could have been a huge difference if he'd started the game. I find that one a bit odd.
He's just such a presence, isn't he, as you touched upon? And to work side by side to Kante is a pretty formidable midfield. And he's adapted very, very quickly to life in England in the Premier League. He came on against Tottenham, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Or sorry, he started against Tottenham whenever he had really just got back into training, first team training, I should say. So, yeah, he looks very good. And then Hazard came on again and had, was it 20 minutes maybe at the end? And immediately he lifts the whole place, and you can see all the other players looking for him and looking for a bit of invention from him. So... if they keep all their players on the pitch, I think Chelsea, they won't have a problem going forward.
Well, it was honours even at Stamford Bridge, but obviously it wasn't at Selhurst Park for a fifth game. for a fifth game for Crystal Palace anyway. A 1-0 defeat at home to Southampton. Roy Hodgson's first game in charge, his return to club management. They're in serious trouble, aren't they? You look at their run of fixtures that they've got coming up. Manchester City, Manchester United and Chelsea.
Yeah,
are they going to score any goals? Or?
It don't look like it, does it? I mean, 5 games, no goals. And they've got a goal scorer in their team, in Benteke. And, you know, I don't mean you could say they're not creating chances. I mean, you know, they are where they are because they've not been good enough. But I certainly think there's players in that team that should be doing, obviously, should be doing much better than they are. But I think between Benteke, players like Punch and Kabai, obviously Wilfried Zaha's a massive miss for them. Townsend just looks like he's hot air blowing up and down a wing at the moment. You know, he's never been a great deliverer of a excellent set piece or a fine cross. But yeah, I think after 5 games, you are talking about them as definitely one of the teams who are going down. You look at the point differential they've got to make up on teams that they would expect to be below them. I just don't see how they can do it now, which seems ludicrous to say after 5 games.
Yeah, well, but you've got to think as well, it's probably we'll be saying the same thing after 8 games, because you can't see them even scoring past those 3 teams. So,
because their schedule looks terrifying, doesn't it, coming up? Manchester City, Manchester United, Chelsea... It's going to get worse before it gets better. Yeah.
The only thing I would say is I think they brought in Allardyce around December time and Pulis before that in November, I think end of October, November. So they will have a bit of time once you get maybe to these 3 fixtures out of the way, but they're playing serious catch up.
I mean, I think getting Mamadou Sakho in that defence is you know, they've got to rush him back now. You know, he's short of match fitness, but he's already a massive improvement on what they've got there at the moment. So he's got to come back into the team straight away.
Well, that's it. Even a Sakho lacking match fitness would be better than what they've got. They've got to get him in that team. Palace are really struggling. A team that was supposed to be down there that have started really well. Newcastle United. There was a lot of grumblings because of a very poor transfer window that they'd had, but they're up in the top four now, aren't they?
They are. They are in fourth place. Another victory. And their game coming up at the weekend against Brighton away, all of a sudden they'll be thinking, yeah, that's a 3 points we can target. That would take them to 12 points. Yeah, that would be beyond their wildest expectations, I would think, after the opening day defeat and pretty insipid display, not only to Tottenham, but to Huddersfield as well. I've watched that game and they were particularly poor in that game. So, yeah, credit to their manager, Rafa Benitez, for turning their fortunes around.
Yeah, Champions League elect. Maybe it's a bit premature. It's credit to Benitez, I think, because we've spoken about everything that's gone on in the background over the summer, and he's clearly not happy, and that made its way, carried over into the start of the season. But he's got the team, as you thought he would do. He's got them compact, playing on the counter-attack, and his captain there, Jamal Lascelles, just been... He's been excellent for the last couple of weeks, just both on and off the pitch. I think did he speak to Mike Ashley about bonuses or whatever that the players were due or something like that? I think there's something along those lines, and convinced Mike Ashley, which is very, very difficult, to part company and pay the players what they were owed.
Like, that's the real success story at Newcastle, isn't it?
Is there a concern that Benitez might get poached by someone at some point this season? If a good opportunity comes up, then they might be in trouble again.
Yeah, again, yeah. I think that's always the worry with a manager of Benitez's pedigree and quality. But yeah, for the moment, it's all rosy in Newcastle's garden, and they'll be hoping, you know, if they can carry on this kind of form, there'll be no reason for him to look elsewhere.
Top stuff. Right, let's have a look at who you've got as the kind of players that have stood out for you so far this season, gentlemen. For me, there's only got to be one goalkeeper, and that's David De Gea. Would you have different options in your teams? What would you have?
I'll tell you why I've chosen who I've chosen, purely because he's the only one, what I would consider, who's had quite a lot to deal with. I don't think De Gea's really been tested that much this season. I think Jack Butland at Stoke has really performed well in the opening five games. So I would choose him, not necessarily on a level above De Gea, but purely because De Gea hasn't had as much to do.
Still, he still can't be England's number one, though. He's still not being appointed as England's
number
one.
He should be.
Yeah, of course he should, yeah.
Yeah, I'd say De Gea as well. Just, I think, even though he doesn't have that much to do, he'll come up with a save that he needs to make at the right time.
What sort of defenders have you got in your teams?
See, again, I thought this would be an area that I would really struggle with.
Because you spent every week moaning about the defending.
But when I come to writing it down, it was actually pretty easy. Now, for my two fullbacks, and I don't know what system we're going to go with, but my two fullbacks, I would go with Kyle Walker and Benjamin Mendy. Defenders, I would go with Phil Jones. I think, again, he impresses me every time I see him now. And the big thing in his game is he just needs runs of game. Mm-hmm. And I think Toby Alderweireld as well is continues to stand out in a Spurs team that just cannot get that win at Wembley in the Premier League.
I thought his partner at Tottenham, I think he's been fantastic this year. But if I had to choose two centre backs, I would pick Jones and Bailly.
I'd have Lascelles in the team.
Yeah,
two match winning goals.
Yeah,
He's winning them games. As
yeah,
well.
He's a young player as well. Yeah. He's taken a lot on his shoulders. I wouldn't necessarily argue with that.
But Mendy's definitely in as well. I think that's fair enough. Who would you kind of have in around the midfield area?
Well, we're going full like attack, are we?
Or is it just Manchester City now?
I think, we're going to go, let's go for a defensive midfielder first. I think Nemanja Matic has brought such a different dimension to that Manchester United team from the base of midfield. I mean, they've all got players who can get in behind defences, can score goals, but I think it all starts and all creates from him at the base of that midfield.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. Further forward, I know I've criticised him a little bit, but I thought Salah's still doing a bit of a job for Liverpool in terms of, I think he's got three goals so far out the wing. I'm looking at the disgust.
What did he say about him last week? He needs to improve his finishing. Is that
yeah, that's right, yeah. He'll have to foul up front in a minute.
And De Bruyne has to be in there.
Player of the season so far, sorry, do you think? I mean, five games in, but
yeah.
De Bruyne has probably been the standout star so far, has he?
Absolutely, yeah. I wouldn't argue with that. I'd throw in Christian Eriksen as well, I think.
Henrik Mkhitaryan?
Yes, yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what? I had him in.
Sorry, Christian.
We have a 16-man team, isn't it, when you're done with this? And then your forward line, what sort of strikers are there? I'm sure, surely Sergio Aguero's got to be a shoo-in.
Yeah, absolutely. What was that? His 10th hat-trick for Manchester City,
six in the Premier League.
Yeah, absolutely. He's, for me, is the first name on the team sheet.
One of our reporters did a really, really nice piece on Aguero.
Who was that?
For his Premier League comment.
Who was that?
Yeah, I've got to forget his name.
He's right about Salah next week.
Yeah, top work on that, actually, Macaulay. Really enjoyed that. Yeah,
thank you.
But yeah, I think if we were trying to shoehorn in a front three, Aguero, I'd go with Lukaku and Morata.
Yep, Lukaku I would go for, and that was it. I had loads of attacking midfielders. So yeah, it'd be those two definitely. What about you, Johnny?
I would have had Salah in a front three and then with Aguero and Lukaku and have it like and gone with it like that. And then my midfield didn't really have a holding player. I just had Silva, De Bruyne and Mkhitaryan. Just had three players that was just create. Yeah.
Excellent. So a two-man defence.
Yeah, 2-3-5.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Let's quickly look ahead to this weekend, guys. It's not exactly any sort of big glamour fixtures to look forward to, but are there any standout games for you?
Well, I think it's a must-win game for Everton. I mean, against Bournemouth at home, what is it, 12 goals conceded in their last four games across competitions, none scored. It just seemed like the honeymoon period of that summer of spending is all a distant dream now. I think that's a real massive game for them. I think they've got to pick up 3 points there.
Bournemouth coming off a morale-boosting win as well, so far from an easy...
No, and I think Koeman has to have a real serious look at that team. I didn't think they were terrible against United. I think United have done what United do and blow teams away when the cavalry is called for. But I really think he needs to make some pretty drastic surgery to that team.
Corks, what's your team to look forward to?
The weekend kicks off with West Ham at home to Tottenham. So I think that'll be a very interesting one for both teams. West Ham can't really get into any sort of run of form. They beat Huddersfield, was it, a couple of weeks ago, yeah, and then drew at the weekend. But their fans just absolutely love having Tottenham there. And they beat Spurs last year.
They did really killed their title run, didn't it?
Yeah, so. Yeah, which they absolutely love. So I think that's a real test for Tottenham. But I think, I know we joked about it last week, but Spurs getting away from Wembley, so you won't have that kind of added pressure, I think will play into their hands.
Excellent stuff, chaps. That's all we've got time for this week. Thanks for stopping by.
Cheers, mate.
Thanks. Thank you.
You can subscribe to Extra Time on iTunes and find us on the website at thenational.ae. Thanks for listening.